It's the Fade 5 Podcast with Brad Evans and Nate Lundy.
Place your bets, Jet Jack Wagons! Brother McNoise Evans here, joined by the good sir, Nathaniel Lundy. I'm not wearing any pants because they just disappeared because Mandatory Montgomery not only scored once, not only scored twice, he had a hat trick of touchdowns on Thursday Night Football, so already counting our winnings in regards to him and some of the other action that we talked about.
That's what I get for fading you. That's what I get for fading you on yesterday's pod. Also, in one of the fantasy leagues that, frankly, I don't pay a lot of attention to because the entry fee was really small. You know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes you don't pay attention to those really. So, Monty was on my bench.
Oh, that's unfortunate. Well, I had Devin Achan on my bench last week against you. In the Hamlin Invitational, a 16-team league. Yes, a 16-team league. I decided to play Hunter Henry instead of Achan. I still won with ease, but that was 51 points sitting on my stinking bench.
Yeah. You still won, though. I don't know what you're bitching about. You still beat me, which is not all that hard to do in that particular league. I just want to blow that thing up and start all over again. But that's an entirely different discussion, and we'll get to that later. Because right now, Brad, people, you know what people don't give a shit about? Our fantasy teams.
No, they don't. But what they do care about is hopefully making some college cash. So let's belly up to the local dive bar there and on the junior circuit. What is our favorite play, whether Friday or Saturday? And your Beavs are in action tonight in a monstrous matchup at home in Corvallis against the Utah Utes. Are you going to stack some greenbacks in that one, or you got something else at play?
Well, no, in part because the whole idea here with the college cash is we try to merge together here at the beginning with the plus bus, right? Yeah. So I want to make sure that I provide a plus odds bet for everybody. Brad, I am going to take the Cavaliers. Give me Virginia straight up money line against Boston College tomorrow, 2 o'clock Eastern time kickoff in that one. Plus 140 is what you can get it as of tape time this morning. In terms of the spread itself, Boston College is catching 3.5, but I'm taking Virginia straight up. I gave you last week to take CSU straight up on the money line at plus 135. That one cashed for us. I say we're going to do it again here with the Hoos with the Cavaliers. Part of the reason why, Brad, Boston College last week gave up a lot of points, okay? They gave up a lot of points, but I'd like to point out to you exactly how that happened. 33-yard rushing touchdown, 45-yard passing touchdown, 42-yard passing touchdown, 55-yard passing touchdown, 75-yard passing touchdown. Hey, is anybody in Boston College's secondary? Anybody? Do they just have like a preschool class from outside of the greater Boston area playing secondary for them? Good freaking Lord, they're giving up monstrous plays. And I know that that is not necessarily what Virginia has been known for. They are 0-4, for crying out loud, okay? But if Boston College is that susceptible, all Virginia's got to do is pepper a couple of them, and they can pull off the upset. So I'm taking Virginia money line plus 140. Again, 2 o'clock Eastern time, kickoff tomorrow. I think this game is on like the CW or something like that.
I am fantastic. And Nantucket Elementary is going to be trotting out in that secondary for BC. So I like that call quite a bit. I'm going to go to the Bluegrass. Scratch that. I'm not going to Bluegrass State, though I do like Kentucky laying the 1.5 against their opponent on a Saturday, and they're playing the University of Florida. I'm going to go with the SEC, and I'm going to go with Ole Miss, and I say the Rebels score the victory against LSU straight up at home at plus 120. Pull this one from DraftKings Sportsbook. I think Jackson Dart's really going to show up and show out in this game. He's completed 63.1% of his attempts so far this season. Number 27, according to PFF, in their quarterback pass grades of decent ADOT, 11.1, decent passer rating of 112.5, and a guy that can beat you with the legs as well. We saw that against Georgia Tech. He went over the century mark on the ground. Ole Miss, according to College Football Graphs, a 52.4% chance of winning this bad boy straight up. The number 42 in the nation, EPA offense. Middle of the pack and EPA defense number 65 there, but that is the downside of the Tigers. Rather clawless defensively. They've been outstanding offensively. Number 70 EPA offense, but number 86 in EPA defense. Remember, their lone loss was against Florida State to begin the season, which kind of shocked a little bit of the college football world. But since then, have they really been challenged against Grambling, Mississippi State, and Arkansas? Really the dregs of the keg of the SEC and nowhere near the clout offensively of Ole Miss. So throw that dart and hit a bullseye. Ole Miss wins at home straight up against LSU plus 120 again at DraftKings Sportsbook. With those bets on the board, bartender, bartender, pour us another edition on this Freaky Friday of the Fade Five.
Number five.
Oh, Jellio, cheerio. Have a spot of tea and have a spot of Kirk, as in Christian Kirk, across the pond at the Book Rack of Dawn in that London matchup between Jacksonville and the Atlanta Falcons. I think Kirk is going to go off in this game. Give me the over, Lundy. 51.5 receiving yards, minus 115. I pulled this from BetMGM. This is all about maximizing the matchup. And you break it down to a granular level, Kirk sees a ton of action out of the slot. And that's where I think he could really do a lot of damage in this game, going up against slot cornerback and D. Alford of the ATL, who has allowed a 139.0 passer rating to his assignments, an 80% catch rate, and not one, but he's also given up a pair of touchdowns. Kirk, a bit of a roller coaster ride this year. Remember, he opened the season with a thump, hitting the ground for only 9 yards. But after that, a buck 10 through the air, another 54 receiving yards. I think he's going to be north of 60 in this one. Still seeing a healthy target percentage of 20.4 on the season, up there in terms of yard per route run, 1.89. And number 17 in total yak. So we can accumulate and chew up some of that yardage after the catch, number 17 among eligible wide receivers so far this season. So give me Captain Kirk, Christian Kirk, over 51.5 receiving yards against Atlanta and jolly old England, minus 115 at BetMGM. Lundy, fair to follow.
Well, the problem we've got with this one, Brad, is I actually kind of have a general rule that I don't bet on the London games. Like
Boo for you.
Well, these games to me get weird, you know,
sure.
They get odd, and I don't trust them. I don't trust the travel. Now, I mean, Jacksonville does it every freaking year. So, you know, they're used to this crap, but I just don't trust the travel, and I don't trust what it does to these guys. As a general rule, I tend to stay away from the London games. When you and I used to do the Fantasy Football Hour back in the day, ourselves, nationally syndicated, like we were on in like a billion places. But I used to stay away from recommending players in the London game for the exact same reason. I just think weird stuff happens. This is a great bet. This is one that I would make in a matchup between Jacksonville and Atlanta. So that part of it, I would absolutely follow on this bet. I'm just saying I have a hard time trusting what happens across the pond in these games, whether we're talking about London, whether we're talking about Germany. I tend to stay away from them. So I love this prop. I like the matchup. I think it's a good one. I just temper my expectations because of the London side of things. That's all. I'm just telling you what. Look, we always said we'd be transparent on this pod, and I'm trying to tell everybody that's me. I don't trust the London. Look, my sister lives there, okay? And I don't know what kind of voodoo jinx she'll be putting on the Jags. I don't know.
Listen, what's weird and uncomfortable is a circle jerk. What isn't weird and uncomfortable is taking the over on Christian Kirk receiving yards in London.
Number four.
All right, numero cuatro. Let's go to a matchup that only a gamer could enjoy or even consume 5 minutes of, because if you're just a standard football fan or a fan of either one of these squads, Chicago or Denver, you know, you're going to be puking very quickly into this affair. But I do love a certain Denver Broncos wide receiver. I know he's practiced on a limited basis this week, but should be good to go. And that is the over on Jerry Jeudy, 53.5 receiving yards against my gummy slash Berenstain slash clawless and hopeless toothless Chicago Bears. -115 there at BetMGM. Why do I feel this could be a breakout performance for Jeudy? Well, last week in that clobbering doled out by the Miami Dolphins, he had 81 receiving yards in that game, coming off just 25 earlier this season against Washington. He is number 5 among all wideouts right now in average yards of separation per target. That is a real stat, tracked by playerprofiler.com. I know it's a bit of a mouthful, but he's getting space and separation from the defender regularly. Hopefully Russ, as a result, will find him with relative ease. I've seen a decent amount of the target share, 19.1%, splitting action between the outside and the slot. He's played in the slot on 30 snaps so far this season, and it's all about taking advantage of Chicago. The Bears are an embarrassment. See what I did there? Yeah, dad punnage in the house. Chicago, 8.73 pass yards per attempt. 4 guys have gone over this number, and specifically when he is in the slot, he's going to get Greg Stroman, who's allowed an 88.9 catch rate and 104.2 pass rating, along with 10.1 yards per catch through 3 weeks. So tally it all up. Jerry Jeudy, give me the over 53.5 receiving yards in the Windy City. And God, there's not enough alcohol in this city to deal with the sports fandom right now. Stupid Chicago Cubs. But I'm going to take him against the Bears. -115 at BetMGM. Lundy, fade or follow.
There was a meme making the rounds earlier this week that had the graphic for the Bears-Broncos game, and it said, can we flex this to 3 a.m. on Wednesday? which is exactly when this game should be played. Remember, Brad, excuse me, the Broncos played in London last year. Could you imagine if this was the game that we sent across the pond? They would never let the NFL back.
They would ban American football.
I mean, I know that they've been suffering through the Jags for a long time over there in London, but if we sent them this game, that might actually be the final straw. They'd be like, all right, take your NFL shit and get it out of here. Why are you sending these two? I actually really like this prop for a couple of reasons. One, I'm a Jerry Jeudy guy. I mean, Jeudy is one of the best route runners in the NFL. Yep. He really, truly is. And he was coming out of college, and he has been since he's been here. He's dealt with a couple of injuries. The other reason I like this one is because if you go back and look at some of the film of what's happened so far for the Broncos, as much of a debacle as it's been for them over the course of the beginning of the season and the absolute ass whooping that they took last week on South Beach, if you actually go and look at the film, Russ isn't the problem right now. He's not. Russ is actually performing pretty well and is pretty efficient right now. It's everything else on this team that isn't working, most notably the defense giving up 70 points. so when you see the opportunity, as bad as this team is, when you talk about what Jeudy was able to accomplish last week against Miami, now you go up against a much weaker secondary in Chicago. I think this is a great bet to be able to play because, again, it's not a Russ issue right now. It's not a Russell Wilson issue right now. It's a lot of other problems on this team, including in the trenches, things that I already told you about when we were talking preseason bets. So love this one. Take this number. I think Jeudy gets up. I think Jeudy may push 65 or 70, Brad.
Hey, you need a reason to watch Bears and Broncos? Bet on Jerry Jeudy.
Number 3.
Numero tres on the feed, 5 countdown today. Let's go with a guy with a cheese chiseled frame, and that is Mac Jones. And the Mac Daddy, I believe, is going to run for at least 9 yards. Give me the over on 8.5 rush yards at even money against the Dallas Cowboys, a team that inexplicably lost last week in the Sonoran to the Arizona Cardinals, already missing Trayvon Diggs, especially in that secondary. Had some ripple effects in the defense as a whole. But I digress on Mac Jones and him reaching the over on rush yards, which he has done in every single game this season. He's gone 15, 25, and 13 rush yards the first 3 weeks of the season. That is a 17.7 rush yards per game average. He is netting 3.7 rush attempts per game. So opportunistic, advantageous, that is the name of the game for Jones. These aren't design runs. He's just seeing the defense slide back in coverage. He sees nothing but green grass in front of him, and he tucks and runs and accumulates the yards as an end result. And I think that is going to be the end result in this game. You look at Dallas, number 17, middle of the pack, EPA rush defense, but they gave up 43 rush yards to Daniel Jones. They gave up 55 rush yards to Joshua Dobbs. Now, those guys got far greater wheels than Mac Jones. But Zach Wilson, yes, the maitre d' at the local Outback Steakhouse, ran for 36 yards against this defense. So I think there is hope for Mac Jones to flirt with double figures on the ground. So pulling all the evidence together, I say Mac Jones delivers. Give me the over 8.5 rush yards in Big D against the boys. Even money, plus 100 at DraftKings. Lundy, pay to follow.
This one just makes me laugh.
It really does.
This is just a goofy. This is like when we pick somebody that doesn't normally shoot three-pointers in the NBA to have a three-pointer. right? Because we're
DeMar DeRozan from way downtown. Oh, right. Yes.
Like right now, you're really hoping that this is one of those one and dones, right? Yep. Like that's what you're hoping. Like, for example, Jordan Love's 9-yard touchdown run last night would have gotten you this, right? When literally it was like the parting of the sea, because all of a sudden it was nothing but green in front of Love on his way to the end zone for that touchdown. In an otherwise kind of weird game. Don't talk to me about my same game parlays last night, because that shit was ugly. What is it with former Oregon State guys getting concussed? Never mind. This one I actually like because you've got it at even money. I don't know whether Mac Jones is going to have the opportunity to do this against Dallas or not. I just love the fact that it's a low threshold and it's plus money. So I'm going to put those two together. Screw the analysis. I'll take it. I'll take some even money coming up this weekend.
Mac Jones running like a madman. Hell yes. Do it for all the Dunkin' Donuts.
Number two.
All right, numero dos for the Fade 5 countdown. Today or this upcoming weekend is going to be the weekend, the day that Ja'Marr Chase finds the end zone. Give me an anytime touchdown against the Tennessee Titans on the road there in Las Vegas. Plus 125. I'll get seduced by that juice. Available at DraftKings Sportsbook. And I feel like this is a gift from the gambling gods. I know Chase is yet to score, but he's got 5 red zone targets through 3 weeks. That's the fourth most among eligible wide receivers in the league. A very high 27.6 target percentage. That's way up there. And you know that he's on the same page with Joe Burrow, who survived last week despite that tender calf. And you look at the Tennessee Titans, where you can take advantage of them is not on the ground. It is certainly through the air. They have allowed 8.40 pass yards per attempt, 4 wide receiver touchdowns, and specifically, he is going to see a lot of Christian Fulton in this game. Christian Fulton, Lundy, has allowed 82.5 catch percentage so far, 23.6 yards per catch, a touchdown, and a 158.3 passer rating, which last I checked is perfect. He has allowed an unblemished passer rating to his assignments. Do you think Ja'Marr Chase is going to feast? Hells to the yes, he is. Give me an anytime score against the Titans. Plus 125 there at DraftKings. Lundy, fair to follow.
I'm pretty sure this is a bet that I will make every week for the rest of the year. Just for Chase to find the end zone. Unless there's some kind of crazy matchup, why not take him? Why not take him at plus odds? Because you can look for him in the red zone. You can also look for him on a 62-yard bomb. Because once the ball is in his hands, if that corner or it is not close, he's gone. If the safety takes a bad angle, he is gone. That's just the way that Ja'Marr Chase is. I like this at plus 125. It's going to happen this weekend. Take it against Tennessee. Love this bet.
Nashville hot chicken. So tasty. Just like this Ja'Marr Chase anytime TD.
Number one.
Numero uno. Swifties unite. Yes, Travis Kelce, come for the party if you want. It's totally fine. I'm talking about DeAndre Swift, however. Not nearly as attractive as Taylor, but still this bet is awfully sexy. Give me the over. 64.5 rush yards against the Commanders at minus 115. Available at BetMGM. This number finally doubled. It was incredibly low-hanging fruit in back-to-back weeks. And, of course, Swift easily coasted by his rush yards prop, which was, generally speaking, closing in, like, the low 30s. Now in the low to mid-60s, I still will play this number up, probably in the mid-70s, because he's got to get the work. It's no longer really a hot hand situation with him and Kenneth Gainwell. And we'll see if Boston Scott's even back in the lineup, still in concussion protocol. But it really doesn't matter. I think Swift is going to dominate the opportunity share, and deservedly so, because right now, 3.36 yards after contact per attempt. That is RB12 among all eligible rushers. He has forced 15 missed tackles. That's number two in the National Football League. And you look at the overall snaps in week three, he only played on 54% of the snaps, but he got 42% of the opportunities on the ground and ran 50% of the overall route. So a guy that was getting it done on the ground and through the air. And again, I just seen him to plow through the offensive line, which he should do with relative ease, because this offensive line of Philadelphia is elite. They're easily a top five, if not a top three or top one unit in the league. And I think they're going to manhandle Washington and that front. Give some credit to the Commanders. They've given up 4.10 yards per carry to RB so far, 80.7 rush yards per game. They've gone 62, 44, and 98 yards allowed to the opponent RB1. And that 98 yards was to James Cook. And I think DeAndre Swift built similarly and will have maybe a similar output and flirt with the century mark in this game. So give me the over. DeAndre Swift, 64.5 rush yards against the Commanders, minus 115 at BetMGM. Lundy, if this doesn't cash, crank the Taylor Swift bad blood, because it's going to be boiling for me. That's how confident I am on this. Fade. Or follow.
I'll follow on it only because I doubted DeAndre Swift last week.
You never doubt Taylor Swift, though.
I almost doubted DeAndre last week, and I obviously paid the price for that one on fading him, because I wasn't convinced that he was going to be able to replicate it the way that he did. He obviously did, in fact, replicate it and got the job done. So I don't want to burn myself in back-to-back weeks. Now you watch. I'll wind up, eating my words, like I'll be off by a week. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, you're always off by a week. That's the name of your game, man.
Oh yeah, everybody knows in baseball, my thing is I'm always off by a day on whoever I bet for either a home run or my total bases. It's why I always go back to the well, because I have to. After I miss out on somebody, because if I don't, then I'm really paying the price for being stupid and not going in and grabbing it as quickly as possible. So yes, I will follow on this way on this one. Swift, please don't do me dirty.
No, he was not going to do dirty, but some other action might. It's bonus time. Lundy, please bring your A game. You got another better two on the board that you're digging this weekend?
Yeah, actually, Brad, I am. Let me get one in for college football this evening. I would not be a true OSU alum if I did not include a bet on them. The spread's moved a little bit. Utah is a little bit banged up. They've got some guys that are questionable, including, I think, at least two in their starting defense, if I'm not mistaken. So tonight, again, 9 o'clock Eastern time is the kickoff for this one from Research Stadium in Corvallis. I'm going to take Oregon State on the money line, but I don't want to pay that minus 180, so I'm actually going to pair it up. And give me Louisville to pick up the win on the road against NC State. If I put those two together, just straight money line, for this evening. And again, Louisville and NC State is the early game tonight. They're at 7 Eastern in total of the four games that are on the slate for this evening. Oregon State money line, Louisville money line, put those two together. Did it earlier today at DraftKings, pulled that one in at a plus 139. So snag that one while you can. I gave you Virginia as an upset pick. I'm not so sure that I don't also want to pick another Virginia team, and that is Virginia Tech taking on Pitt. Now, they're a much smaller money line favorite. I think the last time I looked, it was only like plus 115, 120. But I do think they can pick up essentially an upset money line pick for you as well. Brad, you're going to think I'm nuts, but I'm going to throw this out there. Folks, this is only about a quarter unit play for me, okay? I'm not trying to get too crazy with the cheese whiz, but I'm not convinced that Georgia is as good as everybody thinks.
That's valid.
I'm just not convinced of it. So Auburn is catching 14 at home. I would play that spread. I think they can keep it close, but I'm probably going to throw a quarter unit on Auburn to win it straight up. And you can snag that one right now at plus 425 odds. Woo! That's again, Georgia's good. And until somebody beats them, I'm going to be proven completely wrong. But I'm just going to throw that out there that I'm not convinced this Georgia team is as dominant of a team as we have seen out of the Bulldogs in the past. And this game is on the road for Georgia. It is at Auburn. So I want to throw that one out. Let me bounce back over to the NFL. 85% of the snap share and almost 90% of the opportunity share. Give me the over on 66.5 rushing yards for one Zach Moss coming up this weekend. With Anthony Richardson, maybe not 100%. Remember, A. Rich can take some of those carries away from Zach Moss, but if he's not 100%, they may want to try to put the ball to the belly of Moss more often. Again, nobody has more of the opportunity share in the NFL than Zach Moss. He is number one. And as I just told you, he is just under 90% of that opportunity share, courtesy of the site that Brad was mentioning earlier, Player Profiler. So I do like that one a lot. And then I'll also correlate to your number. You talked about liking an anytime touchdown for Jamar Chase. I also think they're going to feed him constantly. So I'll take the over on his receptions as well.
Oh, which yeah.
I think is sitting at 6.5 right now. It's juiced up. So you may want to make it, a receptions parlay with somebody else. You may want to make it a part of a same game parlay. Whatever you need to do to be able to bring that number down, go ahead and go for it in that one. And then I know I saw this when I was scouring some of the more deeper props yesterday afternoon, but I forgot to write it down. So I apologize because I don't remember which book that I got it from. But you can snag the team total for the Arizona Cardinals in the first half. I saw it yesterday at 6.5. In other words, can the Cardinals manage to score a touchdown at some point in the first half? Yes, I know they're on the road. Yes, I know they're taking on the San Francisco 49ers. But if you actually look, Arizona's scoring has been happening in the first half. They're front loaded. Right. And then they just, and then they're like those preschoolers we were talking about from outside of Boston. They just get distracted, squirrel, and all of a sudden they're over here and who knows what's going to happen with them. But if you can find that and if I can figure out which book I had it on, folks, I'll put it out on Twitter. But I do believe that Arizona can manage to score in the first half, even as good as San Francisco's defense is. Their over under in their team total was 6.5. And I was like, you know what? Why not? Let's have some fun. But it was also a Thursday, and I was kind of bored of the Thursday night game, and I was downing a few amber ales. And so I don't remember what book I found that at. I'll go see if I can find it for you. But there's a handful of plays. I'll have some videos for you. I'll have some more posted up on the spreadsheet as we go throughout the weekend. But as always, I yield the floor to the gentleman from Illinois.
All right, let's throw back a few right now, and perfect segue, not only on sipping an adult beverage, but you mentioned Jamar Chase and catches. Oh, that's part of the Team Huevos parlay play of the day. Give me Amari Cooper, 5 or more receptions. There's Jamar Chase, 7 or more receptions, and Isaiah Pacheco. Oh, you're probably not even thinking I remotely include him. 2 or more receptions plus 380. Oh, yeah. Get some news by that juice at DraftKings Sportsbook. Amari Cooper, Should see another sizable target share yet again in this game. A player who has got a 25% target share so far on the season. He's gone 3-7-7 in receptions the first 3 weeks. And all I need is five. So he's already done this in 2 with 3. Though Ronald Darby is who he's going to be going up against. Mano a mano with the Baltimore Ravens. Only giving up a 50% catch rate. But again, this is a volume play for me. Seems to be in rhythm right now with Deshaun Watson. All the reasons Lundy mentioned on Ja'Marr Chase, let me give some additional evidence. Five guys have caught 7 balls against the Tennessee Titans secondary. They suck. They stink. You can take advantage of them all day long. Dinner and movie secondary. And Ja'Marr Chase is going to get his in this game along with that anytime touchdown. And then you look at Isaiah Pacheco, really ramped up his presence as a pass catcher. He's averaging 10.7 routes run per game. He's already gone over 2 receptions or more in 2 of his first 3 contests. And you're taking on the Jets. And the thing about the Jets is you want to work away from those DBs and that secondary. And a lot of teams have been doing that as a result. That's why the Jets have allowed 6.7 receptions and over 40 receiving yards per game to the running back position. So I think Pacheco will be busy as a pass catcher. To recap, Amari Cooper, 5 or more receptions. Ja'Marr Chase, 7 or more receptions. And Isaiah Pacheco, all I need is 2 or more catches plus 380 there at DraftKings Sportsbook. Elsewhere in bonus time, back to college. I teased it at the top accidentally, a little Freudian slip. Give me Kentucky. I like the Wildcats against the Gators. I think they're going to turn Florida in a bunch of luggage. You look at Kentucky laying 1.5 at home in that game. The key in this contest is run defense. Obviously going to be very critical to Kentucky pulling off this victory. And Devin Leary not making any mistakes. He's got 5 INTs on the season. He's only completed 59.3% of his pass attempts as QB for the Wildcats. But if he purrs in this game, Kentucky will win. And they may win somewhat handily, though both of these defensive clubs, top 15 in the country in EPA defense. But give me the Wildcats, who according to College Football Graphs got a 72.6% chance of winning. And I need them just to cover the 1.5. Again, at home, rowdy, raucous crowd there in Lexington. And I think they get it done. Elsewhere in college football on Friday night, here's what I'm going to do with the Utah-Oregon State game. Lundy, I'm going to take an SGP. I'm going to take the total up to 50. I'm going to hit the under on that total. We know we got elite defense in Utah. Oregon State has been subpar defensively, number 67 at EPA.
Yeah, but they're also going to run. Oregon State's going to run and run.
Yes.
Damian Martinez might be the best running back in the nation, and they are going to just keep handing him the ball, and that's going to use up clock to add to your argument on the under.
Yeah, totally agree. And I'm going to take Utah up to plus 7.5. Now, Oregon State could easily win this game, but I don't think they're going to cover this 7.5 old spread line. So if you slap those two together, the Utes plus 7.5, I don't care if it's Nate Johnson under center or Cam Rising. It doesn't make any difference to me whatsoever. That defense is still lead, even with a couple of guys potentially out. And I'm going to slam that under on the old total of 50. It's plus 110 if you build that at DraftKings Sportsbook. All right, let me rapid fire a couple of more player props in the NFL. Jerome Ford. I don't care if you're a Chevy guy. Rev the engine on Ford in terms of rushing plus receiving yards. I'm taking the over 66.5 minus 115 at BetMGM against the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens have given up 84.3 rush yards per game to RBs and 31.3 receiving yards per game. Kareem Hunt is already banged up. No surprise there. I think Ford is going to dominate the opportunity share. This could be like 70-75% of the touches that he is going to grip in this game. And he has been ultra efficient with the ball in his hands. RB7 in yak per attempt. Top 12 of missed tackles. Force RB9 in yards created per touch. Give me the over on 66.5 rush plus receiving yards. Chris Olave, I'm taking the over on receiving yards. Depending on what book in the mid-70s, hell, I play this up to like 84.5. It could be another 100 yards for him. He has been a money man, and I know that Derek Carr is unlikely to play. It's probably going to be Jameis Winston at the controls, but Olave seeing 31.7% of the team target percentage, number six in total air yards, number seven in total yak. He's already got a pair of 100-yard performances in the other game. In week two, he went for 86, and he's going to get a lot of Christian Eisen in coverage, who is allowed an 88.9 catch rate to his assignments, and the secondary of Tampa has already given up 300-yard receivers. It could be four with Olave adding on. And then finally, revenge game, Lundy. Adam Thielen going against his former employer at home. And the Minnesota Vikings, of course, he's now a member of the Carolina Panthers. Yes, Bryce Young is expected to play, which has me somewhat concerned. But Minnesota is so bad defensively. Number 24 EPA pass defense. They go to 7.41 yards per attempt. Thielen's number right now is at 51.5 receiving yards. And six guys have gone over this against the Vikings so far this year. And he's going to get a lot of Josh Metellus out of the slot, who was allowed a 120.9 passer rating to his assignment. Yeah, drive down Narrative Street on that revenge game for Adam Thielen, who's going to be dealing. And I'm hooked on a Thielen on his receiving yards. I'm out of breath. We are out of time here on the Fade 5 podcast. Do us a favor, please, and thank you if you do, rate and review us and give us some thumbs up. If you're consuming this broadcast via stream on the YouTube, also feel free to follow us on the X or the Twitter. Lundy and all those free spreadsheet picks at 8 Lundy. I do the same damn thing at Noisy Huevos for the incomparable Nate Lundy. Go Beavs, kind of. I just need Oregon State not to cover on that 7.5 alt line.
I think you're screwed on that one, by the way.
I probably am, much like my Illini will likely be at Purdue, because they've been equally as bad. They're like the Cubs. Everything's going wrong in my world, sports fan-wise. This is why I gamble. Until next time, as always, feed or follow. That is up to you.